Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Happy Friday, everybody. Last time we did a summer travel segment, we got a call from a listener, Jason, who asked about good trips with the kids. Well, we haven't forgotten you. When you have young kids, it can feel like your travel choices are limited. Flying with them can be challenging. And now that the school year is just about to wrap up, Outside Magazine has some suggestions that might be of help. Its family travel package features included family-friendly adventures for any time of the year, as well as some tips and tricks for traveling with kids, hiking, backpacking, surfing, and even some more inert options. It's all in there. Michael Roberts is senior executive editor of Outside. Hi, Michael.
Hey.
And listeners, we want to hear from you. Are you struggling to figure out your future travel plans for your family? Or maybe you have a tip for traveling with your kids that helps you keep your sanity? Give us a call. Share. We want to hear from you. 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Or you can pay it forward if you've done any great family-friendly trips near or far. Call in and share them. And if you have any hacks with how to keep your kids occupied in the car on a long flight, shout them out. 212-433-WNYC. That is 212-433-9692. And guys, they're letting me man the phone board by myself for the first time. So fingers crossed this will work out. And if it doesn't, I'll just give it back to the engineer. And maybe they'll let me do it again some other time. So, Michael, how did you compile this destinations? What did you need to have to be on this list?
Well, I mean, for us, it really started out to reaching out to kind of two groups of folks. One are the writers we work with. That includes people on our staff and the freelancers that we employ. And the folks we know who have young families and who travel with them with some ambition. So that helped us make some of our selections of places. This is how we sort of approach almost any of the travel coverage we do, is we get in the big list and we sift it down and make sure we're surfacing the real gems that are out there. And then for those tips and those hacks, we chose to reach out to some of the professional athletes and adventurers in our world who also have young families and who felt like they had ideas they could share that'll help make any of us have easier trips with families. We all have big dreams when we head out there with our kids. Sure. Then you sort of hit the reality of how difficult it can be there. I have three young boys myself. I know this experience very well. And so we took all that and put it together and I think came up with both a great list of trips and then these, I don't know if I'd call them hacks so much as more experience-wise advice on how you can really get the most out of any trip with your kids.
One of my favorite parts of the issue is you include the kids' take on the end of each of these destinations. This is recap is great. This one says, we quote, "We drank out of those big balls. What were those? Coconuts? The juice tasted kind of gross." So these trips are kid tested, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I think it's really helpful, and I think I've learned this more and more myself, is to remember that your child's perspective on a trip is just so much different than yours. You know, what you're excited about and what you take away from a trip is can be completely other side of the planet from what your child is seeing. You know, I was involved in a talk the other night with this amazing woman who's a pediatrician, runs something called the Center for Nature and Health in the Bay Area, and she made this point that when adults head outside and they're excited about a place they are, a lot of that has to do with the view. You know, they want a grand vista or some exceptional looking place. And for children, what gets them most excited is seeing environments where they think that there's not going to be too many adults there, where they can sort of sneak in and not be micromanaged or have a helicopter over them. And so you step back and you think about that, and it helps you really have, I think, a much healthier perspective on how to plan your trips and how to experience them when you're there.
All right, summer's on its way. Let's talk beaches. What's one of the beachy destinations in this issue, and what makes it kid-friendly?
Well, you know, I'm really excited about this one, and I've had a lot of friends pick this out, as well as the editor of our magazine, Chris Kaj, wrote about this, which is the San Diego area. So many people, when we dream of beach destinations, and I'm just like this, I immediately start going to foreign lands. I'm thinking the Caribbean or Mexico or in my dream world, sort of the South Pacific. But it turns out one of the best places you can go for beaches is Southern California. And San Diego in particular, I have a number of friends who've taken their kids down there, and what they talk about is just how easy it is. There's a string of beaches that cater to just about everyone, and that can be families who have some water experience and like to surf, or those who just sort of like to walk out into the waves. So San Diego also has so much else going for it. There's good hiking nearby. The San Diego Zoo is a pretty exceptional place. So, you know, in terms of, especially in summertime, you know, people talk about where you can find surf in particular. And again, everyone likes to search the world and think of it. But the real sort of open secret is that the Southern California area has some of the most consistent quality waves of different sizes as just about anywhere in the world.
But if you decide to get adventurous, that review I read from Nora was she visited Punta Mita in Mexico.
Yeah, that's another place that's been on the top of my list. I've been to some of the areas nearby, and there's a whole bunch of folks who are really excited about Punta Mita. So I think part of it, again, is this is actually kind of an easy, sleepy place where instead of sort of, there are some luxury hotels in that area, but you can get into kind of an Airbnb-style house at an affordable rate, you know, easy walks to the beaches, a mellow community. For a lot of people, you know, that's what you're looking for in your getaway versus the kind of thing you get at a big resort, which has its appeal. I mean, it's nice to have everything done for you, but if you really want to embrace some of the relaxation that comes from Mexico, Punta Mita is an exciting spot. Again, there's good surf there, and there are services, you know, if you want help watching the kids while you get out in the waves.
Let's check in with Jeff from Staten Island. Jeff has a suggestion. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you?
Doing good.
Yeah, I have three kids, and my suggestion is, you know, we don't have much money, and we like to, you know, to travel, get away from the city for a bit. In Philadelphia, there's something called the Smith Mansion. A couple in the 19th century lost their son, I'm not sure exactly how, but they, in his memory, gave their large Victorian mansion to the children of the city. It's completely free. Three floors of this mansion just filled with toys. And
wow.
My kids love it. I'm probably ages 2 to 10 would be, you know, the best age range. And if they ever get tired of the toys, which they often don't, there's an amazing playground attached to the place. So I would highly recommend it for anybody in this area with kids who want to find a little budget-friendly excursion from New York.
Jeff, thanks so much for weighing in. We appreciate it. My guest this hour is Michael Roberts, Senior Executive Editor of Outside Magazine. We're talking about family-friendly trips for this summer. So you have one. I have thought about this trip, but I think about the plane ride. Hawaii.
Yeah, Hawaii. Well, it depends where you're coming from. Hawaii, you know, well, I'm based in the West Coast of the United States. Hawaii for me is easy. If yeah, in the East Coast, you guys head to the Caribbean, which is where I'm always going. And you know what's keeping me from going? It's the plane trip.
Exactly.
But, you know, Hawaii offers, you know, just that again, you're talking about an American destination that has exceptional beaches, exceptional wildlife, warm waters. I would say that not everyone realizes this, but one of the best times of the year to go to Hawaii is really the middle of summer. People tend to think of it as a winter destination, and it's great then. But what happens in the summer is the waves really lie down, and it's warmer, it's flatter, there's better weather, often less rain. So I really love Hawaii in the summertime.
And Hanalei was the place that was suggested. What makes that a good family spot?
You know, just a wonderful, calm, relaxed beach area. Again, I think with families, that's what you're looking for. And again, it's particularly in summer when the water is laying down and you're not worried about big waves. There's just secluded beaches and waterfalls you can hike to. You can get out to the Nepali coast if you want to go for a bigger adventure. And it's just, you know, there's boat rentals you can do. There's a group called Nepali Coast Tours that leads the catamaran trip. So what it offers, I think, is you can get there and you can decide what kind of trip you're really in the mood for. Do you want a relaxed, calm beach, sit there and do nothing kind of experience, or do you want to go hike up a waterfall, or do you want to, say, get on one of these catamaran tours? So it's nice to be able to go see what you feel and then choose a direction for your trip.
Our number is 212-433-9692. 212-433-WNYC. If you have a travel hack or a tip, how to travel with your kids, or if there's some place you've been you think is just great, let us know. We'd love to share with all of our listeners. Something I thought was really interesting, and I do this with my son, it was one of the athletes you reached out to said, when you get to a place, hire a local guide or expert. It just takes so much off your plate. Can you share a little more about that?
Yeah, so we spoke to, again, one of the experts we spoke to was Johnny Mosley, who's a former Olympic gold medalist in moguls from years ago. Now he's raising young boys himself. And in some ways, this is the kind of guy you'd expect to, like, just want to take charge and lead the trip himself. And what he's saying is, like, no, don't do that. You know, reach out to a local expert and hand them the reins. And so many different benefits come from that. You're going to have the local knowledge, which is just invaluable in learning where to go, where to avoid crowds, where to, you know, change course if direct if the weather comes up. You're always going to sort of, you know, get to the best spot in an area. And I think one thing, and I've done this myself skiing with my kids, there's a really important dynamic shift that happens when suddenly mom or dad isn't in charge and there's this other person. And what I've noticed it does is it puts you on the same level as your kids. Suddenly you're a student or you're a client alongside your kids, and there's this other person who's in charge. And all that kind of tension and stress that can sometimes come with mom and dad setting the rules is just lifted from your shoulders. And I think the benefit of that is really, really invaluable.
Yeah, my kid loves fishing, so we get a fishing guide because they know where to go. So, you know, little kids get bored.
Yeah, fishing is, of all sports, yeah, I would say that one a local guide offers so much. They know where they're biting.
Let's go to Hal in Park Slope. Hi, Hal.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Great idea or challenge to discuss. I wanted to describe something first about my wife's sibling who comes with his wife from France and behaves like a child in that they sit there on the couch and stare out and expect us to come up with things to do. So prior to their coming, Nancy makes an itinerary, very specific restaurants, things to see, movies, and so on. So having said that, we also have a daughter. And when we've traveled to, for example, Greece, where ruins are, you know, breathtaking to grown-ups, but they're kind of large rocks to kids.
Yes.
So, as fascinating as that is. And so what she did was make maps and say, okay, when you are at the Parthenon, find this statue of a lady leaning against a bar having a martini or, you know, whatever the equivalent was in Greek. And so on. And so what you do is you get the kids involved in where you are rather than here's a screen, a little screen that you can travel with, stare at it, please get out of my hair, or, you know, it involves them. Also, there is stuff where she looked at the maps before we got there on airplanes, on cars, and made diagrams herself and drew things so that when she got there, Cape Breton Island, Nova Scotia, for example, there is a beach with wonderful beach glass. So she had that in mind and looked forward to it and so on.
She was invested in the travel. Hey, Sal, thanks so much. Let's go to Melissa's got a really good tip. Hi, Melissa.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing great. So you want to tell us about a place in Vermont. This sounds really interesting.
Yeah. So I'm a parent of two kids, one of whom has autism, and it's really hard to travel with him because change is hard, it's different, it's out of routine. And the one place that seems to work so magically for our family is a resort called Smuggler's Notch in Vermont. And at Smuggler's Notch, it's a resort. It's in the mountains, so you're surrounded by nature, which, first of all, for city kids, is amazing for all of us. But they have these camps. The kids go off to camp, and they have a special needs camp just for my son. So he can have a one-to-one counselor working with him while my daughter goes off to her camp. And my husband and I get to relax and swim and do yoga and hike and whatever we want to do and actually have a vacation while our kids have a vacation, which is amazing. And then we all come back in the evening and have dinner together. We're in condos, so we have all the meals together. And it's just really relaxing and fun for the whole family, which we don't usually relax when we're with our kids, so I want to recommend it for any special needs families especially.
Melissa, I'm so happy you found that place, and really, thank you so much for sharing that information.
Sure.
Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
My guest is Michael Roberts, Senior Executive Editor of Outside Magazine. We're talking about trips you can take with your kids. So there's a place that's not too far from New York in the Adirondacks. It's in New York. I mean, New York City. Sorry. Adirondacks, obviously, in New York. It's called the Johns Brook Lodge. What will I find there?
Well, the John Brooks Lodge, it's this, you know, beautiful century-old refuge in the Adirondacks High Peaks. And it's operated by the Adirondack Mountain Club, so very well taken care of. It's a four-bunk-room outpost. It sleeps up to 28 people, so you're going to be sharing. You're not the only family there. In the summertime, they offer meal service. And you get there from Keene Valley, sort of a hamlet up in the mountains. And there's hiking all around. Inside the lodge, there's a big great room, and you know, where they have family style dinners. So, you know, you can imagine the kind of experience that puts you on there. You're coming to a place, it feels in that kind of great old fashioned family vacation kind of experience. And so I think that sounds like just a beautiful escape.
I've been wanting to try some place that was on your list, Zion National Park.
Yeah. You know, I have a special place in my heart for Zion. That was where I would say I had a coming of age experience late in my teen years. The first trip I did without parents was in Zion. And I think what that area of the country, for those who haven't been there, really offers, the Southwest, and I think Zion has a real special role down there, is just, it's awe. You know, I mean, those landscape, it's like being in another planet. And especially, you know, when you go somewhere with kids, that is something that kind of can awaken something in them. You know, we all go to parks, you know, in the New York area, there's beautiful, beautiful parks. But if you haven't gone and seen those red cliffs and mesas and tabletop country out there, it's like going in the redwoods in California. It just makes you breathless.
Let's talk to Steve from Monroe Township. Hi, Steve. Are you there? Oh, I think he's listening to us on delay. And we're going to hang up on Steve. Oh, wow. I feel very powerful with this board. Let's. I think Ira has a question for you. Hi, Ira.
Oh, hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
Entertaining listening. Me and my family were planning on going to Panama at the end of August. Everyone together, and we're looking around for some ideas on what to do with the kids. They range in ages from 5 to 13. So any good suggestions?
Any suggestions about Panama?
I have one suggestion for Panama to just take a look at, which is the Bocas del Toro area, you know, sort of a little bit of an escape from some of the other regions in Panama. I went there many years ago. There was nothing there 20 years ago. It's a little more developed now, but I would put that in your search area for sort of warm waters and sort of smaller kinds of places to escape to, you know, the sort of very little family-run outposts and that feeling of you know, really having an experience that's beyond just, you know, sitting on a beach, which is great, but one that you're going to feel like you're a little maybe more embedded in local culture and the environment.
Ira, have a great trip.
Thank you. Have a great day. Have a great weekend.
So I have a question. So Ira's going to Panama. I mentioned Hawaii. Can we just talk about plane travel for a minute? Instead of, you know,
oh, yes,
plugging them into the iPad, which I am guilty of, I have to say, it's one of those moments when we let the kid just have his moment and watch, you know, as many versions of cartoons that he likes. But I do often feel guilty. I often think, like, I should be doing something else. What else can I do?
Well, yeah, and I'm going to say I come from a family where we have, over the years, done everything we can to not plug folks in. It is increasingly hard, and I'm going to put in a plug here, and that's usually because everyone else around you is watching screens, and a lot of them are people watching stuff that's, like, terribly inappropriate for kids to be looking at.
It's so true.
You want a distraction that's like, I don't want to plug my kids into iPad, but that guy next to me is watching, like, people's heads being blown off, so I'm going to just do it because at least my kid's not looking at that. So, hey, folks, if you're on the plane, be mindful. That said, there are a lot of ways to turn a plane flight into an adventure. I would sort of, you know, we talked earlier about investing kids in the trip. I would start by saying, let the kids have something to do with their own luggage. Even the little ones, my three-year-old loves to pull his tiny roller bag through the airport.
Yeah.
That's going to change. They are suddenly a traveler. They're no longer just the kid that mom and dad are sort of yanking along, you know, the jetway. That makes a big difference. When you are on the plane, engineer surprises, which means have lots of neat new small toys, books, and other things that they don't do at home. Make something different, because there's that element of surprise that the first 10 or 15 minutes, no matter what it is, they're going to be interested because it's new. I've had a lot of personal success with magnet puzzles. Normal puzzles on planes are a problem. They drop them, they're on the floor, they get kicked around. But there's puzzles that involve magnets, little water paints I've used where it's actually not paint. You dip your brush in water and you paint what looks like a blank page in a book, and a painting emerges from it. So we get on a plane, we have, for our three boys, a pretty big bag of just novelty. Stuff we're throwing at them every, you know, half hour or so. Once they get older and start to read, things change. Things change a lot. The other thing I would say is snacks, and probably more snacks, because plain food, we don't really need to say anything about it. It's going to maybe a little better in the old days. But if you can come in sort of, especially the long flights, we do a 6-hour flight every summer to see grandparents on the other side of the country. And we have planned out several large snacks over the course of that flight. That makes everyone happy. You know, you're going to at least avoid the meltdown if they're well fed. Again, bring foods they're excited about and they're not used to having.
Oh, yeah. You don't want a hangry kid. You know what is good? What is good with the iPad, which I have done with my son, is he likes to make music on GarageBand. So I tell him he's got to make me a song. That's actually something that's active and fun. All right, we're going to sneak in one more call. Lorraine from Sheepshead Bay. Hi, Lorraine.
Hi. A great opportunity is the Poconos Educational Environment Center over by the Dingman Ferry, Delaware Water Gap area.
Uh-huh.
And it's a great opportunity for a nominal fee, great sleeping accommodations, a variety, ADA, very compliant for people with children with special needs. They have kosher and non-kosher. It's a very nominal fee. Lots of very interested educators working on their PhD and other environmentalists. Plenty of activities to have an opportunity in the winter or all season.
Sounds great. Hey, Lorraine, thanks for sharing. Michael, before I let you go, was there any location, anything on the list that I missed you think people really would want to know about in our last minute?
Yeah, you know what I would say, and I wrote about this one for the trip, for the list, which was Point Reyes National Seashore in California. And what I like it as really an archetype of a different kind of trip I want to encourage people to consider, and that's a bike camping trip. Everyone likes to go camping, or at least says they do. We all end up car camping with young kids because you're not going to be walking into the wilderness. It's too difficult. You're carrying too much stuff. The problem with car camping is you spend, as far as I can tell, most of the evening hearing people opening and closing their doors and clicking those buttons so their alarm goes on and off. So one of the ways to get beyond that is look within our national park system or your state park system and find campsites that are maybe just 2 or 3 miles in and that you can ride a bike to. Changes everything. It's really easy to load a bike, maybe have mom and dad do a few trips, pull a trailer, let the kids bike themselves, and it just ups the adventure quotient so much. I went to Point Reyes National Seashore, where there are a couple campsites you can do that. Exceptional places to be able to camp right on the beach and ride your bike there. But I would just encourage people to consider that as an option for their own family vacations.
Michael Roberts is senior executive editor of Outside Magazine. Michael, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Great to be here.
And thanks to all our callers for calling in. Coming up, author Evan Friss will join me in studio. He's written a new book called On Bicycles, a 200-year history of cycling in New York City. Stay with us. There's more of all of it after a quick break.